From iCare Partners, this is the Doc to Doc podcast. Clinical discussions with our team of world-class eye care professionals across the country. Through connectedness and continuing education, we help patients see their absolute best for life. Your host is Dr. Lori Preventure, a glaucoma specialist and cataract surgeon at the Cincinnati Eye Institute.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Doc to Doc podcast. Today, I'm excited to have Dr. Kristen Jirwa with me. She is an optometrist at Clarkson Eye up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Kristen, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Lori.
Tell me a little bit about your background with ECP before we get started here.
I've been with iCare Partners for a little over 3 years at this point. I've been working at our primary care office in Ann Arbor, but I also work at the Ann Arbor Clinic for Vision Enhancement, which is where I practice pediatrics, binocular vision, and do a lot of vision therapy at that office as well.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on today. We're going to talk about a topic I think is really interesting and I know very little about. I didn't tell you this ahead of time, but I'm a huge football fan.
Okay.
And so that's where I hear about concussions is on the NFL. I get sad when one of my favorite players goes out with a concussion, but this is much more real world we're talking here. So, and it relates very much to eye care. And I'm hoping you could give us a little background on post-concussion rehab and how that relates to vision. So just give me a general idea, like what is this? How does it relate to eye care?
That's a big question. I'll try to answer the best of my ability. So, when we have a concussion, obviously a lot of people think about, you know, difficulty with like memory, a difficult time with cognition, but it's really, really common to have a lot of like visual symptoms after having a concussion. Actually, even in sporting events, oftentimes there's a doctor that ends up pulling a player from the field or from the, you know, hockey arena or something like that. It's one of the ways that they can do that is actually by checking their eye tracking skills and seeing if there's a huge reduction in their saccadic eye movements. Then that's kind of what causes them to pull a player from the team. And so what we do with rehabilitation therapy is kind of work on those visual deficits. So oftentimes that is improving eye tracking with like improving saccades pursuits, improving vergence ability, kind of convergence and divergence, as well as accommodative therapy. And in some more severe cases, we also have to consider difficulty with visual perception and kind of the integration of vision into other activities of daily living.
Wow, that's really interesting. So you mentioned, smooth pursuit on the field. What other sorts of ways do we diagnose this? I mean, it seems like diagnosing people is the first step so that we can get them plugged in with the right providers.
Yes. Yeah, so oftentimes people who have a concussion, you know, they might go to the emergency room and they say, you know, just relax, and you should start to feel better soon. What happens is that, you know, if you're still having these visual problems or any kind of, you know, difficulty with tracking or feeling like your vision's blurry, and it's been over 2 or 3 weeks, then that's something that needs to really be addressed and you need to come see an eye doctor to have that really taken care of. And so what I'm looking for is oftentimes the case history ends up being by far the most important part of those exams. So depending on the severity of the concussion, I would always have an attending back in optometry school who'd always tell me, like, your exam starts the moment that you see that patient in the waiting room. Sometimes these patients are really, really light sensitive. So they'll have like their hood up, they'll have like a hat on, they're having sunglasses. So a lot of it is just kind of seeing the patient where they're at that moment. Sometimes they have difficulty with their gait, you know, how they walk to the exam room. You'll notice there's so many things that you'll pick up, and then just kind of having these patients really explain kind of their visual symptoms will be the starting point, because with brain injury the symptoms are so diverse and they really kind of depend on how severe the injury was, where the trauma was, all that. So that's by far the most important component of the exam. And from what I do from the doctor's standpoint is, one, I make sure that their eyes are healthy, give them a good glasses prescription. But I'm also checking like a cover test. Sometimes there can be a sudden eye turn or a heterophoria that's causing a lot of these symptoms in different fields of gaze. Things sometimes can change. I check their ability to accommodate, their tracking, and all of that with those exams. Sometimes I will also do like specialized tints or prism in the glasses at that time too. So a lot of it will just depend on the severity of the patient's symptoms. And like I said, that kind of, it starts with kind of even observing the patient if they have things going on. Yeah.
Okay. So let's just recap. If they're still having persistent issues after a trauma, let's say 2 to 3 weeks later, and a lot of the reasons they're coming in is for some sort of visual complaint. Looking at them in the waiting room, oftentimes we don't see patients until they're sitting in our chairs and it's already dark in the exam lane. So that's a really great point. And then your treatment, you kind of sort of alluded to some treatments. That's, I'm guessing, going to be based on what you find on your exam.
Yes.
What would you say some of your more common treatments are? You mentioned prism and some tint. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you frequently are using for these patients?
I would say prism and tint in the glasses is normally the way I like to first start things. And not everybody needs prism or tint. It just really depends. I would say in more severe cases, that's what I end up using. And then after that is the vision rehab therapy.
Okay, so that's more motility therapies, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so oftentimes patients who have had a concussion have ocular motility problems. So I'll notice they have poor saccades, they have poor pursuits. They also have difficulty with converging or kind of crossing their eyes, letting their eyes diverge, and then engaging and disengaging their accommodative system. So if there is problems there, that's where we do more of the vision therapy. As far as using like prism for patients who have concussion, oftentimes those are people where I'm trying to improve poor gait or difficulty with like their balance. Using yoked prism, you can kind of shift where their visual world is and how they interpret space. I'll use that and have had some significant improvement in patient symptoms from that. And then with light sensitivity, that's where the tints and things like that really can help a lot.
Can you elaborate a little bit? For a lot of ophthalmologists, it's really foreign, vision therapy, visual rehab. Can you just go into a little bit? Is it exercises or what are these patients doing?
After my evaluation, I would tell a patient, you know, you have these problems with your eye movements and you're unable to, you have binocular instability. Your eyes are constantly shifting and moving. And that's one of the reasons why you feel so unwell and you're having this blurriness. And so I would prescribe different activities, but they're oftentimes done like in the office. So I have a vision therapist who I work with she's a certified occupational therapist assistant. So she's the one who kind of executes the activities. And then we have them see my vision therapist once a week, and then we prescribe activities for them to do at home. So I actually have one of the things that we do. It's called a Brock string, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. So it's sometimes used in vestibular therapy and occupational therapy as well, but really it's the kind of the pinnacle of vision therapy. And so it's like a little string like this. Mm-hmm. And so what the patient does is they kind of hold it up to their nose like this. And then they focus on that center bead. And with your focus at that center bead, you start to see double of the other beads just because of physiologic diplopia. And so this is a really good tool for teaching how to move your eyes together because you can move the beads. You can ask the patient to look at different beads and kind of allow them to adjust their focus and have them, you know, use their eye movement. So this is just kind of one example. But if you went into my vision therapy clinic, you would see a bunch of stuff. We have like a huge TV screen where, you know, they have to use their hand-eye coordination. We have a balance beam where we ask, you know, patients to walk on that with some prism and things like that. So it's a lot more interactive. And so part of what we do is try to integrate, you know, visual you know, tracking and convergence and divergence, but with your other senses. So, you know, if you're having difficulty integrating your vision with your vestibular system, you know, if you're looking at a target and you move your head to side, that's engaging both your vision and your vestibular system. So combining those two things is really important, especially for our concussion patients. It's really integral to our process.
I can imagine some patients are good candidates for this, maybe others aren't. How do you determine who might be a good candidate for this type of rehab?
I would say there's a lot of patients that are really good candidates. I think the most important thing to realize is that this is therapy and the patient has to be like an active participant. It's not something that's done to them. It's not like an exam where they just kind of hang out there and let the doctor do all the work. It's really the patient that needs to be invested in their own success. And so I think a lot of motivation, but also tolerance for kind of activities that can be kind of difficult. So depending on the severity of the brain injury, you know, sometimes, you know, even just doing like a visual acuity in a case history is too much for a patient in one day, and they leave the whole day feeling like they have a headache. They just need to go lie down for 5 hours. I literally have had patients have a really, really difficult time just with the examinations. And so when I see that, I oftentimes kind of lean more on my tools with lenses as opposed to doing the therapy. So I think that those are kind of the most important things, is being motivated and being able to tolerate the procedures.
How long does this typically take? Are patients enrolled in therapy for weeks, months? Can it vary?
It definitely varies depending on the severity of the case. I would say in a relatively straightforward case, it might be a couple of months, like maybe 10 or 12 weeks. And I have had some patients who have to be in therapy for multiple years.
So does age matter? Are younger patients faster in their recovery generally?
In general, yes. However, we know that neuroplasticity exists in patients of all ages. So there really is not a number that would make me think that a patient wouldn't benefit from doing vision therapy.
What about barriers? Is this covered by insurance? Are there other major barriers other than financial, potentially?
So this is oftentimes covered by insurance, but not always. It's really specific to each individual clinic. Our clinic does accept insurance, so we would have coverage there. But primarily, I would say cost and time, because as we discussed, it can be quite lengthy.
Would it be vision insurance or medical?
This is definitely under medical insurance.
Medical.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's what I figured, but I thought I'd ask. All right. Well, great. I think this has been really informative. And again, you know, this is what's great about the Dr. Doc podcast, because we get to bring optometry and ophthalmology together. And I just got to learn about something that we get very little training on, at least I did in my residency. And so thank you for sharing that. And thank you for spending time with us on the Dr. Doc podcast. And we'll hope to have you back sometime. It's great to meet you.
Thank you so much, Lori. Take care.
The opinions expressed by the physicians in this podcast are solely the personal opinions of the providers and do not represent EyeCare Partners policy.